Last week we looked at the three things that Paul discussed on more than one occasion with Felix and Drusilla. What were those three things?
Righteousness.
Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. I would like today for us to take a little diversion from the narrative of Acts and look at the middle category, self-control. I am 61 years old and would like to say after all that time in my life, I would be a master of self-control, but I will say that is not the case. It's more like I'm a master of the lack of self-control. And I think the older I get, the more I realize just how poor my efforts are in self-control. There are eight categories I would like for us to consider. How much self-control do I have when it comes to thoughts? How much self-control do I have when it comes to my thought life, what I think? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Paul, in reading this verse, might think of Felix, the very man that he is discussing self-control with. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isaiah chapter 23. I'm sorry, chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What do I think about over the course of a day? What occupies my brain? As a man thinketh, so is he. What do I think? What consumes my thought life? My mind should be stayed on the Lord. I should be thinking His thoughts. How much self-control do I have when it comes to time? How much self-control do I have when it comes to time? How much time do I waste every day? You know, we've heard people say, oh, I wish there were more than 24 hours in a day. Well, if there were 36, we'd waste just as much. If there were 12, we would waste just as much. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16. Let's start with 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And what does it mean to redeem the time? Matthew Henry. Sir? Buy it back. Buy it back. Matthew Henry says, circumspect walking is the effect of true wisdom, but the contrary is the effect of folly. It follows, redeeming the time, literally buying the opportunity. It is a metaphor. I love metaphors. Taken from merchants and traders who diligently observe and improve the seasons for merchandise and trade. It is a great part of Christian wisdom to redeem the time. Good Christians must be good husbands of their time and take care to improve it to the best of purposes by watching against temptations, by doing good while it is in the power of their hands, and by filling it up with proper employment. Three things. Take care to improve it to the best of purposes by watching against temptation, by doing good, and by filling it up with proper employment. One special preservative from sin. They should make the best use they can of the present seasons of grace. Our time is a talent given us by God for some good end, and it is misspent and lost when it is not employed according to His design. When it is not employed according to His design. If we have lost our time heretofore, we must endeavor to redeem it by doubling our diligence in doing our duty for the future. As a young man, Micah, Jake, Lachlan, as a young lady, Lydia, Hayden, Rebecca, Bessie, I know y'all don't think as much about time as an older person, because the end to you would seem to be further away. As a young person, we have a tendency to think the bulk of my life is ahead of me. Well, let me tell you, you're going to wake up one day and that bulk that you think about is gone. It will be gone. Right now, while you're young, think about time. We must endeavor to redeem it by doubling our diligence in doing our duty for the future. You know, the older we get, hopefully the more we realize our days are getting less and less. And it should become a priority. Those few days that we have left, what do we spend doing? What do we spend our time on? The reason given is because the days are evil, either by reason of the wickedness of those who dwell in them, or rather, as they are troublesome and dangerous times to you who live in them. Those were times of persecution wherein the apostle wrote this. The Christians were in jeopardy every hour. When the days are evil, we have one superadded argument to redeem time, especially because we know not how soon they may be worse. People are very apt to complain of bad times. It were well if that would stir them up to redeem them. We need to think about how do I exercise self-control in my use of time. Psalm 90. One of my favorite psalms. And this is what we need to be doing, especially you young people. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And to number our days, we need to consider. We need to consider how many we might have. And we need to understand the importance of every single day. How much self-control do I have when it comes to technology? How much self-control do I have when it comes to technology? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. We thought devices were a modern day thing. Why do we call it a device? Why do we call this thing we behold in our palm and we carry around in our pocket, why do we call it a device? What does it mean to devise?
Plan, orchestrate.
We have these little devices, some of them larger than others, that we use to help us plan, to help us orchestrate. And that the Hebrew word originally means a plan, a counsel, a contrivance. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. A device can be good, but it can also be bad. Jeremiah chapter 18. And yes, I am making a slight play on the word device here. Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 12. The Lord has been speaking to Israel. And they said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. What do we do with that little device? You know, they've gotten so convenient, we don't have to walk anymore. We just carry them around with us. We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And how much do our devices help contribute to that imagination of our evil heart? I'm afraid a lot. Before we moved, we disconnected our Charter Spectrum, which included landline phone, cable, TV, with the added sports package for college football season, and high-speed internet. And I've been without it for about a month. It's been great. Instead of me looking at the news on a regular basis throughout the course of the day and getting bent out of shape and mad because I can't quite understand the stupidity and the ignorance of my fellow humans, and I'm putting myself in that category, but it has been so nice not getting ill and angry over a news headline. And then I click on it and I read the article and I get even angrier. How much self-control do I have when it comes to technology? Sometimes we just need to cut it off. How much self-control do I have when it comes to toys? You know, we've all heard the saying, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. There's a lot of truth in that. And what is a toy to a child?
Provides dopamine.
It's a possession that a child finds delight, that a child finds pleasure in. When a child has toys, you see that child exercise their imagination. You give a little girl a doll, and where does her imagination take her? To motherhood, to womanhood. Toys are basically for the imagination of the child. And a child takes that toy and they are transported to another place, another time, whether it's a doll, whether it's a little car, whether it's a sword. What about us when we're an adult? What do our toys become as adults? What do our toys become when we're an adult? Is it something that we allow to transport our imagination? Where does our imagination need to be transported to? Do we make these toys something that we think will bring us pleasure, a thrill? How much self-control do I have when it comes to toys? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. What a great passage. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And I think that process involves, yes, the childhood imagination, toys. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And as a man, it is awfully hard to put away my toys. But how much self-control do I have when it comes to toys? How much self-control do I have when it comes to the tongue? How much self-control do I have when it comes to the tongue? Let's turn to James. James chapter 3. We all know this passage quite well. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Words are incredibly powerful, for good and for bad. We can kill a person with our words. Not physically, but you can destroy a person's life with what comes out of your mouth. That's true. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A little bit that goes in the horse's mouth. You don't know all the details? Ask Miss Hayden. She'll fill you in. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Take our tongue, you cut it out, you put it on the scale, it doesn't weigh very much compared to the rest of our body. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So maybe we'd be better off if we just kept our mouth shut. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father. We come here in this place, we worship, we bless the Lord. And therefore, we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The tongue. Psalm 19, verse 14. Another of my favorite psalms. How do I exercise self-control with my tongue, with the words that come out of my mouth? Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. How much self-control do I have when it comes to what I say? How much self-control do I have when it comes to temper? My temper. I heard a story once. Little boy, his dad took him to school every morning. And on the way to school, you know, the dad would get so mad. Look at that idiot pulling in front of me. Look at that idiot slowing down. He just made a comment about everything that was going on with traffic, and everybody was an idiot. So one day, the dad couldn't take the little boy to school, and his mom took him to school, and they get in the car, and they're going down the road, and they get close to the school, and the little boy looks over at his mom, and he says, Mom, where are the idiots today? He had heard his dad say it because his dad got angry in traffic, and everybody was an idiot. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his city than he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. We are impressed by the mighty, by the strong. We are impressed by those that are able to just march in and take over. Strength, might. We are impressed by that. But if you can control your anger, you're better than the mighty. You're better than the strong. And how difficult it is to control our tempers. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What a glorious verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There's our tongue again. Put off anger. How much self-control do I have when it comes to losing my cool? How much self-control do I have when it comes to taste? How much self-control do I have when it comes to taste? We would be over it. Janie's mom and dad's house, Mimi and Papaw, as they were affectionately called, and Dad loved sweets. And there would be a candy dish here on the bookcase with some of his favorite candies. There would be a cabinet up in the kitchen with Little Debbie snack cakes and all those little tasty treats that we do enjoy. And Dad would be down sitting in his chair, and he would be eating a Little Debbie snack cake, and more than likely it was not the first one that he had had. It could even have been the third or the fourth. But Mimi's response, her question to Papaw was always, how many of those are you going to eat today? How many of those are you going to eat today? And every time, Dad's response was the same. I don't know, this is my first one. It could have been his fourth one, but his response, I don't know, this is my first one. Taste. Let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And I must confess, there's a little jar of mostly chocolates right at the end of the kitchen counter. And, you know, it's a jar with a nice little chocolate dainties in it with a lid. Of course, the lid doesn't keep you from getting in the jar. But it's always tempting when you walk by and you look down and you see that jar of candy. And I must say the lid has not slowed me down at all. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Do we ever think about how much money we spend on food? All the labor of man is for his mouth. Back in this time, agrarian society, you would literally spend hours a day growing food. Not necessarily to sell to someone else, but to eat, provision for you and your family. It's convenient for us now. We just go to the grocery store, go in, fill the shopping cart, pay for it, go home. We didn't spend much time obtaining that food. But we really did when we think about how much we spent on it and how many hours we had to work at our job in order to be able to buy that food. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. How much self-control do I have when it comes to taste? I love good food. It should be a sensory delight. I love a great cup of coffee. I take pleasure in it. It is pleasing to my taste buds. But do I exercise self-control when it comes to how much of something I may want? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste involves more than just that sensory perception. What am I desiring? What am I desiring? How much self-control do I have when it comes to thirst? How much self-control do I have when it comes to thirst? Go back and listen to Pastor Little's message on Wednesday night about cool water and how tasty and how pleasing it is when you've worked outside and you're sweaty and you're stinky and you're hot and you're thirsty and you go and you get a drink of cool water. And it truly is refreshing. How much self-control do I have when it comes to thirst? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We are all familiar with the story of the woman at the well. John 4, chapter 1. He left Judea, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, Jesus was thirsty. He sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. They were hungry. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, yeah, he definitely was. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. What am I thirsty for? Am I thirsty for the things of the world? Do I not have enough self-control? Do I not have enough self-control that I can say, I'm not thirsty for that? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. How much self-control do I have when it comes to thirst? How much self-control do I have when it comes to taste? What am I hungry for? What am I thirsty for? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verse 17. I love this verse. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. We get hungry. We get thirsty. What do we hunger after? What are we thirsty for? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How much self-control do I have when it comes to taste, when it comes to thirst? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How much self-control do I have when it comes to my thoughts, my time, my technology, my toys, my tongue, my temper, my taste, my thirst? If we want to know about self-control, if we want to know about self-control, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There has ever only been, and there will ever only be, one master of self-control, and it's my master. I want to know how to control myself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Throw in some passages from Isaiah too, particularly the 53rd chapter. Self-control to perfection. You may ask, well, what about when Jesus got angry? It's been called a righteous anger. He was mad for a reason. He was mad for a purpose. And it was not sinful. You want to know about self-control? Look to the master of self-control. David understood. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not lose control of myself, that I might have self-control. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great gift of your Son. For great wisdom, the perfect wisdom that He showed to us during His time here. Help us, Father, to seek after that wisdom. Help us to greatly desire to be like our Master. We honor and adore Him this day, and we gather to praise His name. Amen.